Hello, and welcome to another MTC Studio. My name is Kevin Orbaker. I'm your host for today. We have a great session today about data and how you can gain faster insights to just about any data you might have in your organization. Maybe even data that you don't have in your organization, but you want to aggregate into your organization. Either way, it's going to be a great presentation, and I think you'll learn a ton. We have a presenter in all the way from Dallas today in our studio live, and his name is David Brown. He'll be leading us through this session today. Before we get started, I'd like to point out that if you're watching this live, we have a Q&A available for you to review and ask questions. So as we're presenting today, if you have a question, please feel free to put your question in the chat. I'll be monitoring that, and if a question needs to be answered while we're doing this live, I'll be available to pose that question to David or answer it myself. And we might bunch them up to the end, so feel free to put as many questions as you need to in that Q&A. With that, I'd like to turn it over to David. David, why don't you introduce yourself and let us know what you're going to be doing today.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm David Brown. I'm from the Technology Center in Dallas, where I work with customers on their problems related to data. So we're going to talk a little bit about strategies for unlocking insight from your data and walk you through a scenario that I think is kind of cool and you'll like. So why? You know, there's a big opportunity out there to do business better, to save money, to increase market share, to increase profitability by doing things smarter, unlocking insights from your data. Three basic strategies, I think, for that. One is using different data, you know, acquiring data that you don't have, more real-time data, more detailed data, external data, government data, that kind of thing. Second strategy is to use smarter analytics on that data, to use new methods like machine learning, advanced analytics. And the third thing is to get that analysis in front of more people, right? And to do it all quickly, right? Today, we're going to talk primarily about the second two. Now, stepping back a little bit, here's our slide on the Microsoft Business Intelligence and Analytics platform, who we are and why our technologies are interesting in this area. Here we are in the Gartner Magic Quadrant for business intelligence. Low cost and fast insights. Really, the differentiator for us is the way we play across all of the different constituents in business analytics, from end users to analysts to BI professionals and developers, having offerings and tools and strategies to help each one of them play their part in unlocking new insights. So with that, I want to get right into this scenario. And this is a fun scenario that actually comes from some work I did with a real customer recently. It's about doing smarter analytics with store sales. Store sales has a lot of is data that we've always had, but we want to, there's some things we can do to unlock more insights with it. And what we want to do here is do market basket analysis to try to find out what people are buying together. When they buy product X, what else are they buying? And how can we use that knowledge to drive more revenue and better margins with things like with discounting and promotion and product placement? And then walk through how that insight is productionalized and operationalized in SQL Server and delivered to the end user. So with that, I'll break right out to my demo. So scenario here is that we are AdventureWorks selling bikes. That wasn't my real customer, but here we're selling bikes, and we brought in some data scientists to help us understand the buying behavior of our customers. And so here I am in my kind of my data science workbench. This is R for those of you who don't know this language. This is happens to be the Visual Studio tools for R, but it might be RStudio or any other platform, and R has a package that allows us to do this kind of affinity analysis between projects. It's called A-Rules. And we pull in all of our product detail and all of our market baskets, run it through this algorithm. indicate, you know, minimum thresholds for some of our, what we call our interest measures for how relevant and interesting the correlations are. And then explore, it allows us to explore those correlations between between product pairs. And here on the right, we see a dimensional plot of the product correlations being product X, if you bought product X, how likely are you to buy product Y with the confidence and support. And that's really great. Really interesting stuff, but it kind of ends there. We don't want it to end there with the data scientists trying to make recommendations.
Yeah, David, you know, I'm looking at that. I've used R, and I like R. It's a great product, and I'm glad that we have it here at Microsoft built into Visual Studio. You know, I'm looking at your data there, and I'm seeing, you know, the actual graph that you've created and plotted with R. But from a business perspective, you know, it's kind of difficult to extrapolate data on that and understand what that means or put, I guess, productionalize it, right? Make it something that's useful for the business to be able to review and understand just how to make that data relevant. Do we have the ability to kind of take it to the next level and productionalize?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that, Kevin. So what I want to show next is, well, what do I do with that? That the output of that activity from the data scientist was a bunch of pairs of products that are commonly bought together, along with measures about how relevant and actionable we think those associations are. But navigating all of those relationships is not really the data scientist's job. We want to put that back in the hand of the end user, in the business analyst, the store owner, the market manager. And so here I have that same R package, but running in a SQL Server stored procedure. So this stored procedure, using the SQL Server's R integration, will run those algorithms on the server right next to the data, and then take all those product pair associations and load them back into a SQL Server table. So now I have a record of all of the item affinities. Item X goes with item Y, and what we think about that. And not only do we want to have the item affinities, but there's a bunch of stuff that is really, really relevant that aren't the technical interest measures that the data scientist was looking at. So here we have those product pairs with the confidence and the lift and the support, and those are the technical measures from the data science package. But I also want to pull that back with how much money we make off of each of those product pairs, right? How often they occur, and be able to do margin analysis on it. So I want to pull in additionally for each product pair, you know, how back from our transactional data, how much money we made off of that. And so putting that together with some more of our business data really helps productionalize this and make that relevant to the end users.
So you took essentially what was the R script or scripts that kind of gave you the values or the pairings, put that directly into SQL without changing the R, and we're able to build that into your T-SQL or your SQL script that allows you to get both the pairing of the pairs and then bring in the data from SQL to be able to build out that view of the data directly in T-SQL, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right, Kevin.
Great. So in addition to that, I mean, obviously we can now see that data in tabular form, but you know, if I have potentially thousands, depending on my organization, right? Hundreds or thousands of these pairs, right? It's still kind of difficult to go through the list and understand or make sense of it. How can we then take it to another level where business can actually start deriving value from these results?
Right, Kevin. The intention here is that now that we have all this rich data about our product associations, we want to put that back in the hands of the business analysts and the market managers and the store owners to help them drive decisions about how to market, how to go to market, how to craft promotions, how to do product placements. And so I took that data from the item affinity and loaded it into a Power BI model, and I have a dashboard here on top of that. So I want to walk you through this a little bit and show you what we see. And this is the intention here is that this is now a place where our business users can explore the associations between the products and make good decisions on those things actually affect our bottom line. So we see not only, so here on the left, we see our the products that we sold by category. Across the top here is the what we call the bought with products, or the right-hand products. So when you buy a bike, what do you also buy? When you buy clothing, what do you also buy? And in the middle here, we see the scatter plot. This has our association rules. This has the lift and the support. Those are the technical measures of how strong and reliable the associations are between the products. But it also is colorized by the gross profit driven by the bought with product. So I have an interest measure here that's not just a technical measure from data science. It's actually from my business and how important those associations are to my bottom line.
Real quick, so this tool you're using, can the people watching right now get this tool for free?
Why, yes, they can. This is Power BI, and you can go to powerbi.com and sign up for your free account and start doing this stuff today.
When you say free,
free?
Is that like a timed out version?
No. There's completely free. The desktop, Power BI desktop is free, and there's a free edition. There's a free tier for the Power BI web service. Details online about what's required, what when you trip into the pro version of it. But everything I'm doing here is available on the free,
on
the free version of Power BI.
Excellent.
So here I am doing my desktop analysis. My store owners and my market managers really are interested in figuring out how we drive more margin into each basket. So when customers come to us for a bike, that's what they often walk in the door with. What are they buying those bikes with? So I click over here on bikes, and then my whole everything reorganized to say, well, what's bought with my bikes? And I see something a little bit surprising. The main thing that's bought with bikes is other bikes. And that's not what I was expecting for this. I was thinking, hey, I sell a bike, then I sell with it a bunch of accessories. But it looks like I've got a lot of bike and bike buying here. So let me drill down and see what's going on with this. So I'm gonna drill down on my bikes. There's mountain bikes and road bikes. I'm gonna drill down now across both of those categories to my individual bike products. And I can look at individual bikes and what's bought and what's bought with them. So here is our Mountain 200. Black with a 38-inch frame, and commonly bought with it, the same bike in a 42-inch frame. Interesting. If I look at this, let's look at a road bike. Here is the 60-inch red 650, and I see the same bike, the 650 in a 52-inch. So what we're seeing here looks like a lot of couples going in and buying bikes together. And the interesting thing about this is that they're buying the same model, maybe a different color, maybe a different frame size, looks like our customers are shopping once for which bike to buy and then buying it multiple times. That's super interesting, but that's not actually what I was asked to what we asked to look at. So I want to put that aside and save that for another day. I want to come in here and exclude bikes from the right-hand side. And just look at things that are bought with bikes that aren't other bikes.
So you're using a slicer there built
yes.
into Power BI, like we would do with Excel, but you're doing it right there in the visualization.
Right there in the visualization. That's the power of Power BI, is it allows me to present this experience all the way to the end user and allows them to navigate in a controlled way through the data. So the designer of this specified which slicers are available, but now within that little universe, the user can go wherever they want. So I'm excluding bikes from the right-hand side. I'm going to drill up again here and see what's being bought with my bikes. And now I see, okay, apart from other bikes, we have a lot of jerseys that are being sold with bikes. And some more jerseys and some logo wear. Interesting. And overall, you know, with bikes, I have bikes drive $7 million to my bottom line. And in the baskets that go with the bikes, there's relatively little other than other bikes, which we've excluded. So it looks like we have an opportunity to do a better job driving high margin items into the baskets with our bike buyers. In the story here, my market manager was certain that we made a lot of money on those baskets that had bikes in them. On our logo wear, on our bike accessories. Looks like our accessories are selling well, but they're not selling along with bikes by and large.
Yeah, that's selling. That's actually a very interesting point. You know, a lot of my customers come in and they say they know their data, right? They've been doing this for quite some time, and I'm sure they have a lot of, I guess, legacy or history around the data that they deal with every day. But when I show them data, they're often shocked at just what those correlations really are. And when I can present it, you know, easily in this visualization format, again, it really brings a lot of insights into the picture that they really didn't think existed.
Yeah, Kevin, that's a great point. Because if we had stopped back in the R workspace, right, or back in SQL Server, and then come back with an answer for our business users and said, you're not selling a lot of accessories with bikes, you need to do X, not Y, they're gonna say, I don't believe you, right? I don't wanna hear a conclusion. What they want is something like this, where they can get to all the data, they can see the correlations, and they can integrate that into their understanding of the business and see, oh, okay, here's how it looks like our big baskets, right? So here's with accessories, we make almost as much money on the secondary items as on the primary items. You know, same thing with clothing, right? Clothing, we actually make a little bit more on the secondary items than we do on the primary items. They can really use this to further their understanding and align it with their kind of their understanding of the business.
Now, do you have to have a data executive or a data scientist to be able to build these dashboards?
The dashboards are quite easy. The key here is that we were able to kind of sandbox the data science work and take that data science work from the data scientists who built it using their little data science workbench and drop it in SQL Server and then use that to generate all this insight that we then were able to deliver to the whole organization.
And I'm not limited to SQL, right? I can use any data source I might have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We just used SQL Server to productionize the R scripts, but you can do that in a number of different ways.
So on the data side then, in this particular case, right, you're looking at data from SQL. Could I then also pair this with like other data I might have from other sources simultaneously? I know in this particular case it's just SQL, but I'm not limited to that. I don't have to like take my data and ETL it somewhere or bring it in necessarily.
Yes. Let me show you a little bit about how this was built. If I drop down the ribbon here.
And this is Contoso, you mentioned that, right?
Or AdventureWorks.
AdventureWorks, sorry. So this is a data set that people watching this can actually go and download
and start
playing with on their own. Sometimes the hardest part of doing any type of visualization or analytics, right, is finding data.
Yeah.
So at least from a testing perspective, they could get this on their own.
Uh-huh. And I didn't monkey with this data at all. This is the actual product correlations that are in the standard AdventureWorks. Let me show you a little bit about how this works. Here is my little data model that I built off of the AdventureWorks database. Shows my item affinity. Right here, it's kind of the heart of this model. And it uses on the left-hand side is my main products, on the right-hand side is my bought with products. If you can see the little double arrows here, these use using the bidirectional cross-filtering throughout the model so that I can flow filters all the way through this model from either side. And this data all happens to come from my SQL Server database, but it wouldn't have to. This data can come from a mashup of various different data sources. It could be flat files, external data, SQL Server data, et cetera.
So we have a good question from a user online who is asking, you know, this is great. The visualization is good, and obviously the tool works, but how do we deploy this to users? I mean, do we just use this tool and have them all load and install this?
Yeah, this is a great tool. This is Power BI Desktop. It's a fantastic tool for building visualizations and exploring data and building models on your desktop. But when I'm ready to give this to my users, I can hit this publish button. The publish button will push this, push in this case, the data and the visualization out to powerbi.com. So here's the same analysis, but running in my browser. And this analysis is now available to any of my coworkers. I can send them a link. They can go look at this interactive dashboard, and I can publish it, and they can use their mobile devices on iOS, Android, or Windows to consume and interact with this data.
And can the user at that point who I push this to or I publish this to, can they then continue to maybe add their own graphs and charts? Or?
Yeah, if I allow it. See, here in the design surface in the web, I can flip this into edit view, and I can change, I can change the measures, I can change the visualization types, I can do all sorts of stuff with, I can create brand new reports based on the same data model that I've uploaded.
Now, I know in the one thing, or there's a few things that you can't do with the desktop tool that are available for you in the portal, one of which being is Quick Insights. Could you maybe show people what that means or how that works?
So the desktop tool is great, but the service has some additional stuff. So here is the model that I actually uploaded. And one of the things I can do in the model on the portal is do Quick Insights. And that will run a bunch of exploratory machine learning algorithms against my data model to try to uncover interesting correlations, outliers, other places that might be a starting point for investigation on this model.
So you mentioned machine learning. Is that something that we had set up, or is that?
No, that's built into the Power BI service. Uses our cloud-based machine learning, and to just kind of generate based on the model. Here's things that kind of go together. And Quick Insights are sometimes genuinely insightful, and sometimes they're not genuinely insightful. For instance, this one says there seems to be a correlation between quantity and profit.
Makes sense.
But this one, product margin is trending downwards.
Oh.
That's not so great.
Now, if that was important to me, if that one right there, that insight that
yes.
the machine learning derived from my data, if that was important to me, how could I make that part of my dashboard? Can I actually operationalize that visual?
Yeah, I can just pin that to a brand new dashboard.
So, okay. So I can just take it and I can use the pin feature there on the display to pin it.
Yep. And now I have it permanently on a dashboard.
Oh, great.
Yeah. We're bikes account for a majority of the product total, of course, because we're a bike company.
Bike shop, sure.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Looks like we did a lot of discounting in the 2012 timeframe.
Oh.
That.
So we look. That's kind of a history. Okay, so I see 2012. It's more discounting.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of insights that it derive from here.
Yep.
This is actually for me personally one of the biggest ones I've seen. It scrolls down for quite some time.
It does.
So even if an organization has some data and they don't know necessarily how to analyze it yet, if they just take the data, publish it to Power BI, and then use the Quick Insights, they could derive all kinds of insights from their data, correct?
Oh, this one's a great one. This one actually found some clusters in my machine learning data. And I'm going to...
So what was that?
Yeah, I'm going to show it. So this says lift and confidence. Those are my interest measures for the market basket analysis. They show some clusters when I group by list price.
Oh, interesting.
So generally things with similar list prices are we have clusters of how they drive market basket behavior.
So it kind of correlates to maybe somebody's budget.
Yeah.
if they're planning on a budget of X, then they're going to possibly buy something else around the same budget frame.
Yeah. And I think what this is showing is this is the
his and her bike behavior
that we saw before is because they're buying that second bike is the same model.
Yep.
Right, which was super interesting.
So that's pretty. Again, so just by simply taking my data set, publishing it to Power BI, and then saying, "Show me some quick insights," we're able to get even more data out of it. Now, I notice you're bringing up something else here.
Yeah. So this is the this is what we call
Q&A, right?
by Q&A. This is another thing you get in the portal that you don't have on the desktop. This will show that where you can write in plain text in English over your model. So your model defines all of your measures and all of your rows and columns, and we can use that to say, hey, show me the top category by product margin. Boom, it's accessories.
Huh. And right there, using English, so someone that doesn't even know the data model per se, or doesn't even know how to use a SQL statement, or even how to join data, they can actually just ask questions of their data and find out some additional insights.
And again, these.
What if I wanted to change that to a pie chart? Because I just typed a question and it kind of automatically gave me a graph. But what if I don't like the way it graphed?
You can choose another visualization. So there's pie chart, and you can do it that way, or you can click this down and show all of the different.
So how did I know I could click on that?
Oh, the little yellow line underneath it.
Oh, great, perfect.
Right, that shows me. Oh, I've identified this. Same way with my measures. Oh, I'm going to look at this by or my dimensions here.
Excellent.
Yep. Put that back as a line chart or a stack bar chart. And this also I can pin to my dashboards.
So now my natural language question can actually become part of my dashboard as well.
And the other thing I can do is I can just go into design view for this visual well. And modify it just like I would any
other. Treat it just like any other graph I built, but I built it off my natural language question.
Absolutely.
Well,
and so started with the raw data, and then we built an R-based model to do market basket analysis and item affinity. We took that model and embedded it back into SQL Server so that we could run a batch job to generate all of our item affinity pairs, and pull that into an interactive dashboard to explore the relationships between our products where people are coming in the door for and the other products that they might be leaving with. Publish that to the web in powerbi.com, and then built some dashboard visuals based on this that we can then push out to the whole organization.
You know, there's another question that came up, a very good one, around the data itself. Does the data have to live in powerbi.com, or where does, if I have data?
Yeah, that's a great question. A great question. The way I did it right here, and this is the way for the free way with Power BI, is that I took the data, pulled it out into an in-memory analytical model, and then uploaded that model to powerbi.com.
Right. Do I have to upload it?
So in the free version, that's what you do. Now in the Power BI Pro, we allow you to punch through and run these visuals based on models that are on premises, that are back in your data center. So if end users kind of doing this themselves on their desktop, they would do this upload-based model. But for more of an enterprise IT scenario, you can have these models and the data sources back on premises. And just the visualizations running.
So I can leave all my data in my enterprise data center and just visualize it up in Power BI. Right?
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely.
That's very good. And then the other question regarding to this, kind of correlated to it, was specifically if there is this kind of on-premises versus cloud in the scenario we just mentioned. How often does it refresh? Are there cycles? How do we manage the updates to that dashboard? And are all the updates, do they have to be refreshed? Is there live capabilities or streaming? What are our options?
So for this is what we call an import-based model. So it's sitting in the cloud. We can refresh that either on demand or schedule a refresh. That will reach back to the data source and do a refresh and push the data out to the cloud. We have to set up a gateway for that to happen because Power BI normally can't talk to your data sources. But once we do that, we can set up the scheduled refresh, and we can refresh in this model. I think it's up to 8 times a day, something like that. In the free version, I think it's once a day. But we don't have to use refresh at all. We can use a live query against an on-prem data source or a cloud data source. So if you have this data in Azure SQL Data Warehouse, Azure SQL Database, Azure Analysis Services, or on-premises in SQL Server, Oracle, Teradata, or Analysis Services, we can have this queried live against that data source with no lag.
What about any type of, only because I work with customers on this, what about streaming data? Like if we all want to see a live view of this, is that possible with Power BI as well?
Absolutely. Power BI supports streaming. And I can create a streaming data set in Power BI. And when I provision a streaming data set, it will, I describe the shape of that data set, and Power BI provisions me a REST API endpoint at which I can push streaming data. So if I have data coming in off out of the field or off of sensors, I just pipe it into this REST endpoint and it appears on my dashboards in real time.
There was another question that came up about what we mean by on-premises. Is that limited only to SQL, or what kind of on-premises data sources? I mean, file shares, what's available?
Yeah, so the way we access on-premises data from Power BI is, for refreshes, is we use something called the on-premises gateway. And the on-premises gateway can be used to access all sorts of different data sources. Could be files, could be web data, could be on-premises databases, and other sorts of things. Basically, any kind of data that you can load into a Power BI model, we can refresh through the gateway if it's sitting on-premises.
And I don't know if you still have the desktop tool open, but can you maybe kind of, for those that have not used Power BI, can you maybe show some of those data sources that are available in the?
So I'm going to go switch back to my query view here, and says here's where I want to go get some more data to pull into my model. And that, I don't know if you can see this, but this is the list of all of the data sources that Power BI can access. So Excel and flat files, XML, text, JSON, folders full of files, which is a common scenario. SharePoint. Great big source of lots and lots of enterprise data is SharePoint lists, Access databases, all sorts, Oracle, DB2, MySQL, Postgres, all the normal suspects. Also, SaaS services like Google Analytics, MailChimp, and GitHub, and many others.
So I see some services there like Salesforce and other kind of PaaS cloud services as well. So
yep.
I'm not limited to a traditional file data store. I'm not limited to structured data, right?
Nope.
You can use, I noticed there's like Hadoop and other sources there as well. I also noticed web as an option for, I guess, going directly to a website.
Yeah, we can pull scrape data right off of a HTML table on a website.
And I can merge this with my corporate data, like in this case, the data about my bike sales to understand.
Absolutely.
Like maybe correlating some government data on that's publicly available. If one of my favorite places to go to is data.gov.
Yep.
But being able to pull in data like around economics and spending habits of consumers and then correlate that to the data of my sales directly.
Absolutely. And the online services is really important because even for large enterprises, more and more of your ISV vendors are going to be pushing you towards SaaS services in the future. And you'll find that your payroll is probably already outsourced, but HR is coming. More and more systems are going to be out there running in third-party SaaS providers. And so for you to do insight against those, you're going to have to get and access data in new ways. It's not running, you know, these apps aren't running in your data center anymore. So you can't just ETL them into your data warehouse. You have to go talk to the Salesforce.com or Oracle's HR online solution to get this data and pull it into the models.
So a couple other questions came up. One was around how SSRS and Power BI actually either complement each other or where the differentiator is.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. Big picture here is SSRS is the kind of, is the on-premise, the pure on-premises BI visualization kind of platform. We're working on bringing Power BI report hosting to reporting services. I think we have an early preview available of that in the Azure Marketplace. But today, content you build with the Power BI desktop, you can share it on with other desktop users, or you can publish it to powerbi.com. And coming soon in the future, you will also be able to publish those dashboards to reporting services on premises and have 100% on premises visualization with on premises data.
Very good. One last question. I don't know. I have a little bit of experience with this one myself personally from another customer, but SAP Business Objects, can we use Power BI to take advantage of maybe my business objects universe that I've already created and actually join those?
So we have connectivity to lots of SAP data sources. The whether or not it can connect to the universe, I'm not sure, but we can certainly connect to HANA and to the SAP BW.
Yeah, so I'll have to find a link maybe for this particular question, but I have a customer that actually did take advantage of existing universes, so I know it's possible, but as was pointed out, our existing adapters connect to, you know, SAP HANA and SAP itself, so we'll definitely look to see if we can get that question an actual link to some information. Mm-hmm. So this has been great. Is there anything else from a kind of a tool perspective that you want to point out? I know you mentioned machine learning. We talked about streaming analytics. Is there anything else that we want to kind of point out
as close
far as
with
where
this
to get
slide.
Started?
So two things. Yeah. Well, one is I just want to kind of close with this slide and kind of shows the kind of the full picture of the different technologies and kind of how they play together from data repositories at the bottom how to bring data together, how to do analytics on it, and where the different roles kind of play with that. So at the bottom we have, you know, SQL Server and the SQL Data Warehouse and the Azure Data Lake and bringing the data together with data management and data virtualization things like integration services and the Data Factory and master data services, tools for the data scientist and for the end user with Power BI and Office 365. And for getting started, PowerBI.com for all of the front-end visualization stuff has a bunch of getting started videos and walkthroughs and samples by industry and by department. And for the R stuff, the SQL Server Developer Edition and the Visual Studio Tools for R, free downloads. Lots of great content to get started with that stuff.
Well, that's excellent. And you know, that kind of leads into what we're going to be talking about next week, which is Cortana Intelligence and really starting to take more advantage of your data that you already have. It's, you know, I always call it the Monday morning quarterbacking, you know, looking at existing data and kind of having a retrospect view, but now then taking maybe advantage of predicting where that data is going to go based on past trends and past analysis that we've done. I think that's really kind of a next kind of point for us. The last question came up was source for locations. This presentation will be online for review, as well as information and links for the customer, and make those available as well online on our MSDN Channel 9 channel. So if you want to check this out and find additional resources, you'll be able to look on Channel 9 MSDN. And look for MTC Studios, and you'll find both this session as well as future and past sessions available as well. With that, I think Q&A is, unless anybody else has anything to point up, I'd like to thank David for coming in today, coming all the way from Dallas to our Southern California location here, and taking the time to present to everybody. Next week, as I mentioned, is our Cortana Intelligence kind of a add-on to this session and learning how to take more advantage of your data. So I encourage everybody to watch that next week. And in the meantime, enjoy your time, have a good day, and thank you for joining us on MTC Studio.